Pope Francis honors yet another homosexual activist, but remains silent on the Olympic blasphemy, leaving Andrew Tate to defend Christianity in Europe?
If you Christians don't start standing up for things, when they mock you publicly and openly, you'll have no religion left.
Plus, Bishop Athanasius Schneider, vintage Archbishop Lefebvre, on the Christophobic push to weaponize Islam. Meanwhile, will we vote the Antichrist back into power in America, or will Christian Americans get behind Donald Trump like it's 2016? And finally, nobody's talking about it, but this is why Democrats keep winning. Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Michael Madden. This is The Remnant Underground. Please, I want to remind everybody before we get started tonight to support The Remnant newspaper. Walter, I don't know if you're following this, but Tulsi Gabbard just got put on the terror list, the domestic terror list for, who knows? She questioned the foreign policy of the current administration.
Some Hawaii lawmakers are demanding answers from the TSA.
They want to know why former Hawaii Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard is included on the TSA's suspected terrorist watch list.
Anyway, how long we're going to be able to keep this thing going on the internet, I have no idea. Everything we say on this show is obviously being recorded, and who knows how it's going to be used. I don't care. I'm too old to care. But really, think about subscribing to The Remnant newspaper, where we come out every 2 weeks with a lot of the same material, same discussions we're having, a little bit more in depth. And you can see there's a link right down there where you can do it. Also, please support our sponsors. Tonight it's Charity Mobile, Walter, am I right? Charity Mobile is our sponsor. Very proud to have them as a sponsor because they are America's pro-life phone company, truly pro-life phone company. And tonight we're going to actually take a deep dive into the question of pro-life politics vis-a-vis Donald Trump and the whole discussion there. And I just got to say that with 30 years in the business of helping the unborn, I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. Why would we not use Charity Mobile? They're our brothers, they're Catholic, they're pro-life. And they're offering you guys a free phone with free activation plus free shipping. So go to charitymobile.com/RTV. Use that promotion code RTV at checkout and get started with charitymobile.com. So when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? Is Jesus being rhetorical here, or is he being prophetic? Because if he's being prophetic, then he's talking about a chastisement such as you can't imagine anything worse, right? All of a sudden, one day thinking, well, you know, I don't have the faith anymore. God doesn't exist. This is all pointless. Why even bother going on, right? That is, to my way of thinking, the ultimate chastisement. What's my point? My point is this. After last week's program, last week's Underground, some of you kind of shared some stuff with me that was disturbing. And you poured your heart out to me, and I'm grateful. And I'm also grateful to all of those who were very, very supportive of that discussion that we were trying to have with respect to the upcoming election in November. Now is the time to have that discussion, right? That's the way it's always been. But some of you, in the course of responding to that, sort of poured your heart out to me. One guy really struck me, and I don't want to embarrass him, so I'm not going to name him, but he said, you kind of threw me a curveball here. He said, I've been doing rosaries, I've been doing novenas. If Donald Trump loses in November, he said, I really fear I'm going to lose my faith in God. Now, this is serious, friends. This is a serious, serious problem, right? And we're going to talk about it. And I had intended initially to talk about other big, serious problems. For example, 40,000 dead Palestinians. That had been in the show notes for tonight.
Mr. Secretary, about how many Palestinian women and children have been killed by Israel since October 7th?
It's over 25,000.
No, I'm not trying to be sensationalist. I mean, that's the U.S. Secretary of State, no friend of ours, coming right out and admitting it. And that's back in March, 25,000 dead women, kids, and children in Palestine. Friends, we can do, I don't care where you come down on this, it's time to stop. You can't possibly still be supporting this, you know? And I really wanted to get into that. I intended to get into that to try to come with sort of a uniting of the Klan's position on that as well. But honestly, after the fallout from last week's program, last week's Underground, I thought, well, no, before we can do anything else, we got to resolve this thing. We have to resolve this problem. We have to stay together, friends. We're called to a different, to a higher standard, aren't we? You know, as the small R remnant, as I talked about last week, we're in a little bit of a different category, you know? We're not just Republicans. I'm not a Republican at all. We're not pouring over Fox News still and seeing our salvation in electoral politics, right? We're trying to use that system, do the best that we can. We're not trying to opt out of the system, but we understand ultimately where the solution is, where the help is, where the grace is, where redemption is, where victory is, don't we? I really want to talk about that tonight. I want to be very clear about a lot of things. We have to be clear because this is a bigger issue than I thought. Maybe it's because lots of people have become traditional Catholics over the course of COVID, right? We have a lot of new recruits, a lot of people who are like, wait a minute, what are you talking about? What's happening? You know, thinking that this is more or less just a lot. And I'm so glad, I always say, I'm so glad that so many of you have come over. You wanted to go to Mass. You found the Latin Mass when the churches were all locked down. It's a beautiful thing. Francis, the globalist, turned out to be great recruiting agents. I'm really glad that you're here. But there are massive gaps now in the understanding between us, between the various camps of tradition, which we have to try to reconcile in record time here as this summer now wanes, right? So I want to be very clear what I'm saying and what I'm not saying about Trump. One thing I am not saying about Trump is that you can't vote for him or you're going to hell. One thing I am not saying is all we have to do is pray. Don't be active in politics, just pray. I am not saying that, right? And really I'm referring indirectly, I guess, I didn't say it last week, but I'll say it this week, to Scripture, to the psalmist. You know, what does he say? Put not thy trust in princes, right? Put not thy trust in princes. Put not thy trust in the children of men, in whom there is no salvation. Blessed is he who hath the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, his God, right? That's us, right? That's still us, isn't it? Yeah, so let me be clear. How you vote is between you and God. This show is not here to try to tell you how to vote. This show is not here to try to, you know, we're not going to sit here and have lengthy clips from CPAC on this show, right? This show caters to Catholics, to Christians, traditional Catholics, tradition-minded Catholics who really understand the score and who see politics for what it is. But there's a much bigger picture here. So again, how you vote, that's between you and God. I can tell you what I'll do. I don't care. I'm not trying to hide that. I can tell you what I did, certainly. I hope you'll remember. If not, there's a whole archive of videos to prove it. And, you know, articles in this newspaper, that back in 2016, we stood with Donald Trump. You know, when I got to say, very, very few traditional Catholics did. I won a lot of bets at that point. People who wanted to go with Rubio, they wanted to go with Jeb Bush because he was a Catholic convert, all this, right? And I was thinking, no, you know what's different? Because I had already gotten to the point where I couldn't vote for Romney. I just, I couldn't do it. I was done, you know, voting for the Bush boys too, quite frankly, and their neocon war efforts. So I had already reached that point. And then along comes this bizarre, gigantic TV personality guy, Donald Trump, who was the businessman from Manhattan and who said, you know what, I think we can do better. I think we can run this country like a business. That's what he wanted to try. And I thought, something different. Let's give it a go, right? Now, I lost a lot of subscribers, again, to this newspaper because of that. That's how I saw it. Trump told the globalists, the arch enemies of Christ the King, he told them to go to hell. Guess what? I like that. Trump then also, as we've said again and again, he agreed to stand with pro-life America. What's not to like there? He stood on the mall, remember? And he defended babies. And he became this thing that in all the rest of the world, especially Europe, they could not believe what was happening in the United States of America. The most powerful leader in the world, in the free world, right? So they say. Standing on the mall in Washington, D.C. with a bunch of little pro-life rubes saying, I stand with the babies. All right? That was a shot heard around the world. And then he did things that were amusing but interesting and irksome to these infernal globalists. Campaigning, for example, by putting Christ back in Christmas. Do you remember? We're going to bring Christmas back. Merry Christmas. It's going to be fantastic. Remember all that? It was fun, wasn't it?
And I told you about Christmas, and I guarantee if I become president, we're going to be saying Merry Christmas at every store. The Happy Holiday, you can leave that over in the corner.
So you get a little snapshot of why it was that this guy, Donald Trump in 2016, became a person of interest to those of us whose mission is to make the Catholic Church, for example, Catholic again, to make Christianity Christian again, you know? And this is how we saw it back in 2016. Trump was the guy who could buy us a little time in our to facilitate our mission to wake people up. And guess what? In fairness, even you Never Trumpers out there, you have to admit that something did happen. I mean, think about it. Think about the Catholic revival, the massive Catholic awakening that took place since 2016. Huge. So much so that even the Pope finally had to get involved in trying to derail this Latin Mass movement, which was threatening to literally make the Catholic Church Catholic again. All of a sudden, overnight, there's a Latin Mass in every single diocese. And part of that was because of the Trump phenomenon, Trump buying time for people to wake up, you know, and then along comes COVID. I disagreed with Trump on the Operation Warp Speed, of course, and that too is part of the larger discussion that we're now going to have. What happened? How do we assimilate? What do we do with all this, you know? But for the point of tonight's discussion, I have no regrets for backing Trump in 2016. And far from telling you now not to vote for Trump, you know, he's the devil incarnate because he's not perfect on the life issues, I'm telling you what I'm actually telling you, what I'm saying to you, is that I think and I'm concerned, I'm worried that Donald Trump is going to lose this election if he keeps going down this compromise road on the moral, social, Christian issues. That's all I'm saying. And here's the thing, I have a little bit of an insight. Lots of you who live in blue states have the same insight. But we have a little bit of insight here living in Minnesota. We just lived through this. We just lived through it all, friends. Our pro-life Republicans, you know, they decided that they couldn't win unless they softened their position on what? On abortion. All right, so we played this clip before, but you might remember Governor Tim Walz' Republican gubernatorial challenger, a guy named Jensen, he went all out to prove in this market how reasonable he was on abortion. Even though he claimed to be pro-life, he decided it was very important for him to move to the center on abortion. You remember this rather cringeworthy ad.
Abortion is divisive, and Tim Walz is weaponizing the issue. In Minnesota, it's a protected constitutional right, and no governor can change that.
So that was the midterms. That was 2022. And you all know what happened after that, right?
This coming in just now, the Associated Press calling Tim Walz, the governor, winning his second term.
They let Minneapolis, as we talked about last week, they let our city burn nearly to the ground. And then they raised our taxes, even though they had a massive surplus. And then they locked us down. And then they canceled law and order in the streets of our cities. But you know what they did then? After they did all of that to us, made life not only miserable, but terrifying for people, especially who lived in the cities, right, for a while, for a long time. People died. Lots of people died. Businesses went under. People fled the state. After these politicians did this, and this is why I'm concerned about November with Trump, after they did it here in Minnesota, the politicians tripled down on abortion. And every single one of them was reelected. Why is that?
Government by the people, of the people, for the people. But the people are retarded.
And the question for us for this show tonight is why? What happened? Why are the people retarded? Or why are they voting like mentally handicapped people? And I would say the answer, friends, is right there. It's the 900-pound gorilla in the room that nobody wants to talk about or that nobody's thinking about. I don't know what it is. You'd be talking about, you know, the fix being in, politics being fixed, cheating going on. You know what the ultimate cheating is? It's been there for years.
Why would you trust your kids to be educated by the government?
Right. Vody Bachman said, don't be surprised when you send your kids off to Caesar and they come back as Romans. That's it, man. You're wondering why everyone's gone woke and has no idea what bathroom to use anymore. Just if like, what happened to our kids? I'm like, well, you gave them to the government for their entire childhood. You saw them at dinner and you attended their sporting events, but the government raised your kids. You saw them every day, but you didn't raise them. You didn't log enough hours each day to counteract all the poison and time-wasting and ideological propagandistic crap that they were getting fed year after year after year. And so millennial generation and now Gen Z has gone woke. And we feel like, oh, what happened to my daughter? We raised him better than that. No, I mean this in love, but you didn't raise him at all. That hurts to say because I know it hurts people to hear, but the government raised him and that's what happened.
That's exactly what it is. And nobody wants to talk about it, but we have to think about it. Generation after generation after generation in places, little laboratories, social laboratories called public schools, where God has been banned, it's not legal to pray, and the entire ideology of the radical left is at work every single day, all day long, with the future voters, the majority of voters in this country. So you see why we're concerned? Leave it up to the states? Well, that basically means, because these are federally controlled public schools, that basically means leave it up to the federal government. And that's why it's getting worse. That's why we're losing this war right now. But in 2016, there was such a powerful fervor that Trump managed to somehow galvanize, right, with pro-life, pro-God, pro-American people, that we overcame that. And that's the thing that's interesting. That's the thing that I believe we need to get back to. So I'm saying to Donald Trump, what I'm saying to him, as we get ready now, we're having this conversation. We have every right to have this conversation. Please do not try to silence me. Don't try to silence anybody who wants to talk this out while there's still time to talk it out. What we're saying to Donald Trump and his team, hold the pro-life ground. Don't back down. Galvanize the base. Galvanize the base of homeschoolers, private schoolers, Christian America, and you might win again. That's what happened last time. That's what happened last time to such an extent that you threw the entire left, the whole Hillary Clinton left, into absolute demonic furor. Do you remember? Honestly, as I tried to say last week, it had something to do with a willingness to meet God halfway. And we're broken, man. We're losing the faith. We're in trouble, but we want to do the right thing. And so this guy in 2016, that's what he said. We'll stand with you guys and see what happens. And we wiped up the floor with Hillary Clinton. Nobody saw that coming, friends. So I'm concerned. Somehow you need to put a religious fervor back into this thing, or we're going to lose. And why do I say religious? As friends, as everybody's been saying, how many times have we been quoting people like Tucker Carlson, people of influence, big-time people of influence, Candace Owens, you're looking at this going, man, this is a war between good and evil, right? Everybody who's got their head screwed on properly at this point, who's thinking at all, who's thinking original thoughts on their own, they're all coming to that same conclusion. This is a war between God and Satan, a war between good and evil. And mere politics is just not going to cut it. Not against these principalities and powers, as again, we're bringing the knife to the gunfight. Think about it. Cackling Cammy, running on abortion every time somebody puts a microphone in her face, she promises she is going to spill the blood of innocent babies every time. Doesn't that seem weird? When mankind has never even conceived of more effective contraception measures than what we have right now, doesn't that seem weird? They're campaigning on this. Why? Unless this truly is a war between good and evil that we're watching. Of course it is. But what's interesting right now is that people in the middle and the mainstream are starting to admit that it is. And then, as we said last time, you got the Satanic Temple out there right now launching lawsuit after lawsuit in this country against any restriction, any state that restricts abortion. Why? Because any restriction at all of abortion is a violation of the Satanic Temple's First Amendment rights.
This week, Idaho's AG says they successfully defeated the Satanic Temple's challenge to Idaho's Defense of Life Act. The suit claimed that the state infringed on the temple members' rights by denying them to the right of an abortion, as the group believes in bodily autonomy and has abortion rituals that are sanctioned by the temple.
So from the weirdos running the Satanic Temple to the weirdos running the Democrat Party, they all have one thing in common. They share a zealotry, a fanatic religious obsession with abortion.
Here we go.
Thanks.
Hey, what's up?
I just saw that Minnesota has the most extreme abortion law in the country.
No, hope not.
No, really, it's right here. The legislature passed a law that allows an unborn baby to be aborted at any time up to birth, even healthy babies with healthy moms.
Wow. My pro-choice friends don't even support that.
What we are talking about here in Flyoverland, USA, are the lives of babies. Babies, 9 months in, seconds away from meeting their moms for the first time. All through history, these are the happiest moments in our lives, in the lives of mothers, in the lives of babies, in the lives of us as a society, as a people, as humanity, right? New life. But now the people who intend to run to be the leaders of our country in a few months, instead of letting that baby be born and meet his mom, instead they are lobbying to stab that baby to death. Tear him out of the womb and throw him into a bucket. They're campaigning on that. Do you honestly think there's anything more important in the entire political world than that? Than allowing ourselves, our children, and our future to end up in the hands of people who would do that? So consequently, friends, whomever goes up against the monsters who are signing bills like that into law in this country, who's ever going up against them, had better be ready. Had better put on the armor of God. I'm not a Republican, I'm sure as hell not a Democrat, but it's easy to see that that's what has to happen. And my interest in all of this, in this discussion, is to call, like I said before, to call the Catholic Church back to its senses to do something about this, right? To call this guy Francis, that's futile, pray to St. Jude on that one, but to pray and to work for a pope who will be Catholic, who will remind the world of the satanic nature of these atrocities, right? And then the other part of our mission here at the Remnant, which is to do whatever we possibly can to make sure, please listen to this, because it's very simple. Are we voting for the man, the politician, Donald Trump, in all of his bombastic ways? Is that the guy we really are betting on? Because there is another way of looking at this, and I am hoping that priests, bishops out there in this audience will engage in a discussion of the moral theology of what I'm about to say. But here's how I see it. I think that we have to make sure that we're not necessarily voting for the one guy who's going to do it all. That's not the way our politics work anymore, right? That's not the way it works. We got to make sure that the constituency, and this is the part I want you to listen to, the constituency, the people that end up advising him, the people who are standing just off camera in the Oval Office, right? The people who have entree to the president for the next four years, that constituency, you know, the people that the president has to answer to, if he's going to get reelected or if his party's going to remain in power, that constituency shares my priorities, that constituency is going to lobby and is going to put pressure on the president, whoever it is, to make sure babies don't get murdered by the millions in this country, to protect children from castration, right? To keep things like homeschooling legal, to let God back, not only into our schools, but into our public discourse, to let the Ten Commandments begin influencing what's happening to our law, to law and order in our country again, right? To stop things like the national borders being erased. See, that's what I'm thinking about when I think about who am I going to vote for in November. Which person is going to have the largest group of sane people who are going to pressure whoever the president is to do the right thing? Because if we don't think about everybody, if we just turn this country over to the blue-haired, nose-pierced, pro-abort, cross-dressing freaks on the other side of the aisle right now, well, friends, it's all over. And again, not just for unborn babies, but for our born children, for all of us. I don't know that this has anything to do with voting for the lesser of two evils, an argument that I've never been a big fan of, quite frankly. People say, well, only God can save America now. And guess what? I totally agree with that. Yes, that's true. But if you look at your Bible, for just 10 men, the 10 just men of Sodom, God said he would save Sodom. Right? So obviously it follows that God will save America for the same reason. If we can maintain a certain body of just men who are willing to fight for him and to identify as his followers, as the children of light, as the Christians, as the sons of God that this country necessarily needs if it's going to have any protection from on high. In other words, the just men of America, as I see it, are key to all of this, key to this discussion. And so, we need to make sure that we don't do anything to compromise our justice, what makes us just men. And that was what I was trying to say last week. We need to talk this out with our priests, with our families, right? With our politicians. They need to hear from us. Fanboying Trump right now doesn't accomplish anything. He needs to know that we are going to retain our Christianity no matter what happens. So that we can fight the long war, right? Even if we lose the short-term elections. We've lost plenty of elections before. The main thing is that we stay Catholic and we stay engaged and we keep fighting. Because if we sacrifice our Catholicity, what and who we are, as Catholics, as Christians, if we sacrifice that on the altar of mere political expediency, we will lose everything. And guess what? There will be nobody left to change history. There will be nobody left to fight the long war. You see? That's the end game. Most of us will probably go out and vote for Donald Trump again. He did choose this Vance guy. You know, we're all looking at him still. He's a recent convert. He talks about St. Augustine. There's things that are interesting. Why did Trump pick this Catholic guy, young Catholic guy, you know, if he's not sort of listening to us, to the Catholics, to the people out there who are saying, Donald, man, don't go over there and try to the politics of appeasement with the center left because you're going to lose us. Personally, I will not be silenced on this issue. I will do everything I can to make Donald Trump earn my vote. He absolutely must see that there may come a time in our minds, we as Christians understand history, there may come a time once again when Christians will not be allowed to vote in conscience. And then he loses a huge block. And this is already happening, by the way, in Europe, where they basically, the folks have a couple of options to vote for, two evils from which to choose, neither of which is lesser than the other. Nobody's talking about being pro-life. Nobody's talking about pro-family in Europe right now. They can barely discuss being pro-borders without ending up in jail. It's gotten so bad. You see, and when that happens, faithful Catholics will find themselves once again on the wrong side of politics, just like the early Christians were on the wrong side of politics under the evil pagan Roman Empire, you know? But they were on the right side of God. And that's what we need to do as well. You know, again, when the Son of Man returns, will he find faith? The greatest heroes in human history are those who found themselves on the wrong side of politics but kept the faith anyway, right? You know what we call them? We call them saints. We call them martyrs. They were so heroic that we're still telling our children their story thousands of years later, don't you see? Keeping the faith, friends, is how we win. Keeping the faith is how we guarantee that the enemies who hate everything about Christ, that's how we guarantee, that's how we assure them that they will lose. By us keeping the faith no matter what. I remember in Catholic school, the nuns used to make us very aware of this, to make us memorize this in our catechism. By my confirmation, I promise to become a soldier of Jesus Christ. I will never be ashamed of him. I will rather die than deny him. We had to memorize this stuff. That's what I say. Last week, I was so surprised. This is just common, basic Catholic teaching. And people who understood this, that you have to die for Christ before denying him or before compromising your Christianity in the name of mere politics, people who understood that, what that means, they went on to become the greatest heroes history ever saw on the one side, on the one hand. And then, oh, by the way, they changed history after they took that stand. They're the ones who made the world a better place. And that's the conversation that we need to have right now. Are we ready for this? Are we working up to it? Are we working out for it? Are we ready to become part of that little remnant, small r, that will send that message to the world? You can take our lives, but you will never take our faith. Look at the unrest in the world right now. Look at our Muslim friends, especially over in Europe right now. They're winning. They're winning. Why? Because they're ready to die for their God as we Catholics were once willing to die for ours. That's why. The future belongs to them, doesn't it? Because they still believe in something larger than them, and because they're having, oh, by the way, lots and lots of children while we are aborting ours into oblivion.
Now we're witnessing an invasion. They are not refugees. No, this is an invasion of mass Islamization of Europe, which already went on for at minimum 50, 60 years, Islamization in Europe. But now it is in mass. It is very evident. And so this is a global political agenda by the powerful of the world to destroy Europe culturally and religiously. I mean, to destroy Christianity in ultimately in Europe. In 30 or 40 years, when it's now going on, so the majority of the population of Europe will be Islamic. Europe will be Islamic when this will go on, because the European people have almost no children, one or two. The Muslims there, they have 5, 6 to 10 children. And so it is, you can only make mathematics. And the church being surrounded by an Islamic society, which is not tolerant and which will not be tolerant, and then the Christianity in the church will be maybe purified with this. And the purification is good also sometimes.
I noticed something that Bishop Schneider, a holy, holy man, what he says there. He said what I was trying to say last week. We don't first and foremost blame the Muslims. They're being triggered. This whole situation is being set up by evil people who want this conflict, you know, who are tearing it all apart. Global elites weaponizing us against each other, right?
It is extremely divisive and playing dirty politics by the Prime Minister to categorize all those who have a legitimate protest against immigration as far right. He does it in order to rubbish their position. That's what the Prime Minister is doing. And you're rightly saying, Peter, that we don't know what their political ideology is. But if we were to hazard a guess at what their political leaning is, it's probably Labour, because they come from white, working class backgrounds across the UK, the deprived areas that have been repeatedly promised that they would be levelled up, and what they've seen is immigrants in masses coming into their communities, being put ahead of them on social housing, education, NHS, getting cash in their pockets. All of this is an offence to the white working class man. And just last point, Labour Party has turned its back on its constituency, which is the working class of this country. The Labour Party is infused with some kind of ideological nonsense that it's inherited from the DEI agenda.
And what might surprise you is that they've been doing it for decades. Here's Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre.
Parce qu'ils ont fait des médinas et puis des mosques telles que même les gendarmes n'osent plus mettre les pieds là-dedans. Alors, qu'est-ce que ça va être la France à ce moment-là? C'est déjà comme ça dans certaines villes d'Angleterre.
Qu'est-ce qu'il faut faire alors, Monseigneur?
Ah ben, demandez au gouvernement d'arrêter cet islam. Faire ce qu'on a toujours fait. Les deux religions ne peuvent pas cohabiter. C'est impossible. Qui reste chez eux? Et si tous les ans, il y a 500 000 musulmans en plus en France, allez voir ce que ça va faire avec les...
So what do we do? You know? Well, you fight a false religion, Bishop Schneider knew. Archbishop Lefebvre knew, right? You fight a false religion not by street brawling, because that's exactly what they, the elites, want us to do. Not by street brawling, and certainly not by bombing Gaza to hell, making everything worse, these wars all over the place, right? You fight a false religion with true religion. And that's what I'm saying. That's what I've been saying down here since we first started doing this underground. It's all about the true religion. That's the only way out, friends. And with just a little bit of thought, we can almost prove that. You know, look at Europe. Even today, every city in Europe is dominated by what? A cathedral, a Catholic, massive Catholic church. Now, Vatican II turned them all into museums, but the point still stands. That's how Christians protected their children for 1,000 years. That's how Christians protected their wives, Christian men. That's how Christians protected their civilization for 1,000 years or more. By putting Christ's church at the center of their lives. By putting Christ the King at the center of their lives. Not the city hall, but the church at the center of their lives. And to whatever extent that is possible, we need to do the same today. That's what this is all about. You put the Latin Mass on every altar in Europe again, and within a few years, we'll get our countries back. Not only our churches, but our countries back. And do you know who knows that? You know who's afraid of that? The globalists are afraid of that. The globalists know that. The modernists know that. That's why they're spending every waking moment now. Poor old Francis, he doesn't have long for this world. He looks terrible, yet he spends every waking moment as a globalist pope trying to crush the old religion. Because that's his job. Crush the old religion. Crush the old order of Christ so it can be replaced with a new order of Antichrist. You know? And what represents the threat to that new order of Antichrist more than the Latin Mass? The Latin Mass movement. Because making the Catholic Church Catholic again will make Christianity truly Christian again, and it will become the most powerful political force on the earth once again. Which, again, is what this is all about. That's what they're so afraid of. As things stand right now, however, we're losing elections, the little elections, right? We're losing those because we're losing the faith. And without the faith, we are nothing. Look at the Olympics. Look at the embarrassing event that just transpired regarding the Olympics. When the anti-Christians just walked right up to all of us, walked right up to Christ, spit in his face, slapped him across the face, and nothing happened. It was like we weren't even there.
Guys, I believe most of you are Christians. I'm a Muslim, yes? This is Romania, supposed to be the most Christian country in Europe. You cannot allow them to desecrate something as important as the Last Supper with transsexuals and little children, pedophilia. There has to be a point you stand up for your beliefs. If you have something in life and you don't stand up for it, it will not last. If you have a house, you don't maintain it, it will fall down. Business, you don't work, it's gone. Relationship, you don't take care of her, she'll leave you. It's the same with religion. If you Christians don't start standing up for things, when they mock you publicly and openly, you'll have no religion left. It doesn't matter, it's a matter of time. Especially now, Romania and all these other countries have opened the border. Millions of people who come here are not Christian. And if you don't say, this is a Christian country and we respect Christianity, they won't respect it either. It's the end.
I know you don't like him. He's bad. He's a troll. Well, that may be. I don't know anything about him. But he's right in this case. And in this case, he's also another who has become more Catholic than the Pope, who said not one word against that Olympic-sized blasphemy against Jesus Christ last week, whenever it was. And that's what I was getting at last week. That is the problem in the world today. That's the problem. The spiritual apostasy starting at the top. That's the problem. If it comes down to it, friends, are we willing to forfeit our rights as citizens of the city of man to retain citizenship in the city of God? That's it. That's the question. And sometimes that leads to what? It leads to martyrdom. And again, we've been telling the stories of the saints forever. One of my favorites is St. Thomas More, locked up in the Tower of London for over a year. Do you know when St. Thomas More first struggled with the martyrdom that he faced, when he really struggled with it? Do you remember this? It's when he thought that his wife, his family, didn't understand that he didn't have a choice in the matter.
I'm sick with fear when I think of the worst they may do to me. But worse than that would be to go with you, not understanding why I go.
I don't.
Alice, if you can tell me that you understand, I think I might make a good death if I have to.
Your death's no good to me.
Alice, you must tell me that you understand.
I don't. I don't believe this had to happen.
If you say that, I don't see how I'm to face it.
It's the truth. I'll tell you what I'm afraid of. That when you've gone, I shall hate you for it.
Well, you mustn't, Alice. You must listen. No.
See, friends, he doesn't have a choice. When it gets to that point, we got to try to fight to make sure it never gets to that point, because he's also the one that said, this is not the stuff of which martyrs are made. We're not looking forward to this, right? But Thomas More lost his head. Why? Because he couldn't vote. He couldn't vote for the political leader of his day without compromising and losing his soul. You see? And that's why he's a hero. If I can take the oath, he says to Meg, if I can take the oath, what are the words? If I can take it, I will. What are the words? He wasn't trying to be a martyr. Does that sound familiar? Because that's where we are. If I can vote in good conscience, I will. I want things to be better in this country, right? I will. But if I cannot vote, then I pray that God will give me the courage of a St. Thomas More, you know, to join that ragtag band of losers that we've been reading about all of our lives, the heroes of our faith. St. Joan of Arc comes to mind, doesn't she? The loser, burned at the stake, crying out through the smoke, hold the cross high so that I may see it through the flames. St. Thomas More on the scaffold, I die the king's good servant, but God's first. St. John Fisher, the only bishop that held out against all of the bishops of England in favor of the church, standing on a scaffold. I have come hither to die for the faith of Christ's Catholic Church, right? St. Edmund Campion, I am a Catholic. In that faith I have lived, and in that faith I intend to die. All the Cristeros, Viva Cristo Rey. The Vendeans, martyrs in France, Vive la Clistoire, as they died. You see? The little child martyrs of the Colosseum whose blood watered the tree of Christendom, singing praises to God, smiling in the faces of lions, tearing them to pieces. That's how all this got started, friends. Jesus Christ, the condemned criminal, the loser in the eyes of the world, hanging from a cross, forgiving his executioners. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The world, the best, most powerful civilization that the world has ever known was built, in other words, friends, by heroes who fell out of political favor, but who had the courage to stand alone against the whole world for Jesus Christ. So will I vote for Donald Trump, and will that do any good? Out of self-defense, I think I will, personally. I'm not telling you what you need to do, but I will. I'll vote for him. I'll vote against the demons who want to eat my children on the other side, sure. But friends, I have to say this, and I'll close on this. Donald Trump is not my savior. I will not lose my faith if he loses his election in November. Not even close. If he loses in November, my savior will remain our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the person, a second person of the Blessed Trinity who defines me. He defines me, not the GOP, not the Republicans, not conservatism, not Merca, but Christ the King. And I stand with him until he returns, when yes, he will find faith in me, in you, in our children, in all of us. So help me God.